Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is truly moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has so much to share with us. There's so much information we need. You know, I'm reminded of a scripture that talks about how the days of a man is full of trouble. We're born in a troubled world. Once Adam ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, trouble began for mankind. Sin. He allowed through that one sin, he became a sinner. And that transformed him. He began to die from that moment. Now, he didn't die till he was 939 years old. But if he didn't do that, he would be alive now. And he wouldn't look old. There would be no age. You wouldn't even know what age is, what an aging person is, if Adam never sinned. And this world would look so much better. Remember, God made man to have dominion over the earth. So whatever happens to man happens also to the earth. Whatever man does, the earth will follow his deeds, whether it's good or bad. Now, some people wonder why the weather can be so violent and volatile and vicious. And sometimes people think it's God. It's not God. The tornadoes don't come from God. If God was going to send one, he'd have his prophets to tell people what was going to happen first. Just like the earthquakes of Revelation, the Lord prophesied about it. It's not that he's judging it at that point. Some of those things that happen is his judgment, and some of it is the reaping of man's sowing. And some of it is, and Satan's being, his kingdom is being judged. But right now, God doesn't send those things. The fire in California and the flooding in the East Coast sometimes, that's not God's will. But the earth will do what man will do. If we want to stop things like that, we have to change our ways. We have to walk in love and stop walking in hatred. And we'll have to get most of the people on earth to do that. But this is a very violent world. People are violent against each other. They steal from each other. Mothers abort their children. People make it illegal. People make it legal to abort your children, and they try to urge people to do so they can make money off you. So the politicians can get elected. They think that's what the people want. But Satan has another agenda. Satan's agenda is to kill man anyway, through whosoever he can use to do it. Sin weakens a nation. Hear me again. Sin weakens our nation and every nation. Sin is intrusive. It's infectious. One person can start sinning, and there will be others that will sin as well. And people will get more bold, and they'll experiment with sin. And it gets worse and it gets worse. It consumes your life if you don't kill it. Jesus Christ died to shed his blood to save us from our sins. Man is no match for sin. He's outclassed. Sin was going to consume him. But the blood of Jesus washed it away. And we have to make sure that we love God so that we won't play with the world. Now, a Christian don't have to sin. Sin has no power over those who believe on Jesus Christ. They can stop the sin. They can stop what a person without Jesus Christ can do. Everybody who never believed on Jesus Christ, sin has power over them. If they try to stop, they can't. But those who believe on Jesus Christ, they don't have to sin anymore. They got a brand new spirit, and they've been washed in the blood. They can stop all the sins in their life. Now, they'll have to learn how to operate in the, according to the new way of life. But sin is not in their nature anymore. And that's very important to understand. So the enemy had to come up with a weapon. And that's what we're talking about now. We're dealing with end days and how to navigate your life so that you can have victorious outcomes and blessings in these days. And my friend, that's what wins souls. But as a weapon, the enemy sent false prophets. See, if he can't get people to turn from God, he'll try to confuse the message and get them to believe false doctrines, false opinions, doctrines of devils. He sends seducing spirits. And when they, if they can turn a preacher into a false prophet, then the enemy, we use false doctrine to nullify what Jesus did in our lives. And once a false message becomes popular, it'll become accepted. And you can't know God in certain areas. You know, the Word of God already tells us that we know in part. And that's true. We know in part. Everybody knows something about God in part. We don't know God fully. Even though we're saved, we get to know him over time. And everybody knows something about him who believed on him, because they experienced victories in certain areas of their lives. But when people come in with a dead doctrine that says, well, God doesn't do it this way anymore, or he stopped healing, that interrupts people's faith. And if they don't study the word to and learn how to refute error, they're going to die because of the error. They'll live a premature life. Their life will end before it's supposed to. But when a person receives the internalized God's word, when they receive it in their heart and they act on it and they have a passion for it and they begin to do it, you're going to learn more doing the word of God than just reading it. When you're reading it, you're getting information. But when you do it, you finish learning why God said do it that way. You finish learning the word of God that you've already read. And you get what we call new vision, new understanding, new concepts, new wine. The Lord gave you a new life. And you put that life in new wines. It's just like wine. If you take new wine and put it in old wineskins, you're not going to have it very long. But if you put new wine in new wineskins, both are preserved. And the Lord gave that example. So he gave you a new life. If you put his word in your, if you, in other words, he gave you a new heart. If you put his word inside your heart, every time you study the word of God, don't worry about it, whether you can interpret it right or not. Just receive what he's saying by your faith. Just believe. If you can believe his word and receive it as truth, the Holy Spirit will help you get the revelation from it. He'll help you understand it. And the Holy Spirit will only reveal to you true things. He will expose false things, false teachings. Now, it's hard to, sometimes it's very difficult to expose a lie for what it is. But with the Holy Spirit as your guide, if you're the kind of Christian that pay close attention to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, sometimes a lie just don't sit right. I don't care who amen it. I don't care what TV preacher. I don't care what well-known person do it. The whole church can be saying amen. And on the inside, you know that something is wrong with it. It's a tainted word. Something is not right. And you don't know how to, you may not know how to explain it, but you know it don't sit well. Because I've done exactly that. And I know if I can do it, others have done it. And I've even heard other people talk about it. The whole church saying amen. You look around and people just as happy saying amen to a lie. And even people you respect will amen it. But it don't sit well on the inside. And that happened to me many times. But, and then I bring, you know, I like to bring things before the Lord. And I want to know, I say, Lord, what, do you send people problems to make, to make them grow? Because that's an evil thing. You know, when you think about that, I used to hear messages like that all the time back in the 80s. God has sent problems to make you, and then they use Bible stories to make it seem right. People just amen it like it's the gospel. They act like Jesus said it. And it just didn't sit. That message never sit right with me. And I said, well, Lord, do you send people problems to help them grow, to make them grow? And the Lord, correct, he just flat out said, problems comes from Satan, lack of knowledge, and other people's lack of knowledge. So you can have problems from what you don't know. But you can learn. If you start receiving the Lord's word, you can learn. Now, all these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. And this year, all the broadcasts are on the Audio 3 page for 2018. All the radio broadcasts are dated. And you click on the bar, it'll say LLM and the day that it first aired. And the Lord wants, he wants us to know him. And you can listen to these broadcasts. They can be shared with your smartphone. You can send them as a message. And I thank God for new technology. The anointed word of God can be transferred by our electronic devices. You can listen to the word of God on your smartphone. I have it downloaded to my smartphone. And I can go to my website. And once you go to it, it's easy to go back. But you have to use the address bar. It's better to use the address bar than the search engine. Now, newlivingletters.com. Continuing. Now, last time we talked about, we were in Jude. And Jude is helping us to understand the wiles of the devil, false prophets, and how they operate. We stopped around verse 4. We'll go back to verse 4. And Jude said, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. They're turning God's grace into an aid of sin, something to aid you in your sin, lasciviousness. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came with a holy purpose. Jesus is holy. Salvation is holy. It's not to be used to enable men to sin. They're taking the grace of God and using it wrong. And that's evil. The Lord made us righteous so that we can be righteous, so that we can choose to live righteous. So sin don't have to dominate our lives anymore. Now, before Jesus Christ, sometimes there were people who wanted to do right and they did not want to do wrong. And they couldn't stop. Just like anybody who would try to do right without Jesus Christ. They can't do it. All the religions in the world that try to do right, they can't do right. They have all the problems a sinner would have. But those that believe on Jesus Christ, they can walk away from sin and never look back if they want to. And then you can fill your heart with God's word and you'll have stamina against it. You know, you'll be like the prize fighter that trained and ate right when you study the word of God and receive it and have a relationship with the Lord. Not only can you not sin, but you can withstand the pressure of this world. But the average Christian, they are made righteous and they can be right. If they're not interfered with, they can do fine. But you can't stay there. You have to fortify your life because Satan is going to, he'll come to trouble you. When I first got saved, I didn't go looking for sin, but sin started looking for me. And I said, Lord, what's going on? I don't know how to deal with this. Now, I didn't fall because he made me new. But I thought I was going to fall because I was tempted. I was being pursued. I was being tempted to get angry, tempted to lust, tempted to say the wrong thing, tempted to think the wrong thing. And the way I killed it, I filled my heart with God's word and I decided to operate in love and I forgave people. And then I stopped And through that love, I stopped fearing. And then the Lord said, don't fear falling. And I did that on purpose. And I've been standing ever since. And the things that Satan's biggest battles didn't bother me no more. I went on to start learning greater things. I started asking the Lord about other things because I was free in my heart. But Satan don't want you to know that. So he sent people to mess things up and turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And then spread false doctrines that once you're saved, always saved. That's false. That's a lie. You're saved always if you stay saved. If you choose to operate according to God's word, you're fine. If you don't start sinning and stealing and committing fornication and adultery and homosexuality and lying to people, you'll be fine if you don't do those things. Verse 5, he said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going out to strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. This is the same thing, the very same thing that Peter wrote about in 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9, he said, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Michael was able to continually, steadily look to the Lord. He didn't let the things that Satan was doing bother him. Now, this reference says, likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. See, the enemy is trying to get you off track so that if he can get you to commit sexual sins, he can trap your life. Because that's hard to get out of if you get involved with it. And then despise dominion. All the authority figures that point you to Jesus Christ, he tried to get you to hate them. See, sin has a mission with it that you don't realize. If you can get involved in sin in any form, still in line, talking about people negatively, especially sexual sins, they develop into habits that control you. And even drugs, you know, and that's a witchcraft, see. The enemy is trying to get you dominated so that then the next phase is you're going to separate yourself from everybody that make you strong. All the preachers that love you and teach you the word of God and show you a good example, you're going to have a problem with them. The enemy is going to say, well, they're hypocrites. But the false prophets, he's not going to have you to call them a hypocrite because they're working against everybody. They're messing everything up. But this is the work of false prophets. This is what they do. And you speak evil of dignities. Dignities are those who are true in their heart. They live according to the love of God. They are the people who make life certain. They are the politicians who vote on the things that make the whole country strong. They are the judges that rule right. And they don't seal justice. They are the lobbyists who try to protect people. You know, you got good and evil people everywhere you go. It's unfair to say all lawyers are evil just because some people will pay people to lie in the witness stand. And they do it. I'm sorry. And then there are judges who know it and sell justice. But all judges are not like that. God has judges that will do right. He has preachers that will preach right. Now, we're dealing with false prophets like we have to, but they are out there, and it's not fair for you to go out there and think that they're not. That's why whatever you do, wherever you go, your people that may be going to court or whatever, you can outrank those evil ones. You can pray for your people, and God can find a way to outrank what they're doing. But you got to believe him and take him at his word. You get your whole family together. Y'all pray. Forgive anybody if you got anything against them, and pray and ask the Lord to help you in your court case so that you don't get in legal trouble with these lying people. And ask him to bless the truth to come out. And then, especially if they're innocent, and if they did something, pray for a fair trial, that they don't be railroaded. And this is beyond race, too. This is what you have to do, whoever you are, because Satan hates everybody. He hates every race. He hates everybody. He hates the people that he's using. How about that? He hates the false prophet. He can't wait to mock them when they die and go to hell. And God loves everybody. He loves the people who love him and the wicked people too. But the wicked people, they just won't repent. No matter what happened, they always go back to the world and they lie against God. I'm sorry, but that's how the word is written. It shows us this. Now, we have to minister according to what we see, according in the word of God. Verse 10 says, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves." So when people corrupt themselves, then they get in a situation where they won't repent. They won't change. They won't try to learn better. But they go forward in their evil. And they make a doctrine. They believe it. Some false prophets also believe that they're going to heaven. That's why some of them are going to say in Matthew 7, Lord, they're going to come to Jesus saying, "Lord, Lord." He's going to turn and say, "I never knew you." And they're going to be surprised because they believe their devilish false doctrine that they got from a seducing spirit that they thought was the Holy Spirit. Yeah, they thought that they were on God's side. They thought that they were preaching God's word. And they interpreted the way they wanted to. The people they trusted did it too. But they didn't search the scriptures. Jesus once told the Pharisees, "Search the scriptures. You think you have eternal life." He said, "Search the scriptures. True it up. Make sure you're right." But some people don't do that. They believe a lie and they stick with it. And they die, thinking they all right with God. And then they get a Christian funeral. Most people get a Christian funeral. They went to church or used to go to church. Or people think they're Christians. A Christian funeral, it means nothing. That's just something that the family does. And we can't tell who's who. And that's, but false prophets are false prophet. False people are false people. Wicked people are just wicked. And I can't tell either unless God revealed it to me. We can see deeds that people do and know that they're wrong, but we can't judge a person's heart. And some people, I believe, I'm just sure that they're saved. And they don't have all the elements of a false prophet that I'm aware of. And I even say they went to heaven myself. But God knows. Now, verse 11, he said, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." These are false prophets. These are people who run backwards. They go back to the world. "They have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore." Kore stood against what Moses, he stood against Moses and wanted to go back to Egypt and tried to rally people, and the ground swallowed up the people that went with him. Verse 12, "These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees of whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead and plucked up by the roots." This is the lifestyle of a false prophet. And then watch verse 13. It says, there are raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own lust, their own ungodly lust. These are they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. They always separate themselves because darkness runs from light. Darkness runs from light. Sin hardens people's heart, and they don't want to be around those who are true. And Satan is cunning. And if they won't repent, anybody that will sin and not repent, Satan has place in their life and something to work with. If they don't stop the sinning process, it will consume their life unchecked. Even a temptation. If you do something about every temptation that comes to your attention, if you're tempted and you resist it and you don't, always say something. Say, I hate that sin in Jesus' name, and then tell Satan, you can't tempt me with that ever in Jesus' name. Always say something. Speak the word of God against it. When it comes to you, tell Satan, no, I hate that. That's not of God, and I reject it fully. In Jesus' name. Not out of fear. But do it so that you can destroy what Satan started, so that it won't grow in your mind like a seed. Because if you don't deal with it, it'll grow. If you don't deal with it, it'll grow, and it'll be harder to stop that way. It'll become a persuasion. A lot of people have gone into homosexuality because of a thought that they didn't check. It came from Satan. All homosexuality, lesbianism, fornication, adultery, it always, my friend, comes from Satan. It's not normal. It's not natural. Even fornication is not normal. It's not God's way. It comes from an unchecked thought. The enemy gets you to lust after somebody's body and focus on it. And it becomes a temptation is a false desire. He's trying to get you to desire evil. It has nothing to do with the love of God. Men and women are designed to attract each other. But you have to understand, just because a person is beautiful to you or attractive to you, that doesn't mean you'll have a good relationship. You have to have other qualities as well. Things in common, things that you both like. You have to be able to enjoy each other's company. Before you dedicate your whole life to one person, forever. And that's not a vow you made lightly. Common sense is supposed to show people that. But there's a thrill of being in love, but you're still dealing with a person. They're not an imagination. And they may not even think like you do. That's why the divorce rate is so high, mainly because people have such lack of knowledge into how to get to know the right person and who would be a blessing to them. But when you draw near to the Lord, you learn things about life. You learn things about yourself. You learn things about others. What kind of person makes you tick? And then you're able to evaluate whether a person can enjoy your company or not. And whether you can enjoy theirs over the years. and grow. And that, like God intended it to be. But if you can trust the Lord, He can show you.